It's good to see you in the Lord's, well, not the Lord's house, but it is the Lord's house, the tabernacle here, isn't it? Good to see you today. It's a blessing to come together again to Maranatha. Some of you have heard already, we weren't planning on being here this year, but it's been a real blessing to us, and we're thankful for the privilege and the opportunity. And we thank you for praying for us. Many of you know us, some of you may not. We'll try to just give you a brief what we're doing in the land of Wales. First of all, I want to say I was saved in age 17, sitting on the pew of a Baptist church. I'm thankful to God He opened my eyes to the gospel. I was baptized at age 12, but did not know Christ. Sad thing is, I walked the aisle and the preacher didn't show me a verse of Scripture. Didn't say, you must be born again. And you say, how can that be? But it goes on, doesn't it? Many people walk the aisle, and sometimes people try to show them. They still are not converted. But I'm thankful 5 years later, God opened my eyes and convicted me of my sin, brought me to Himself. And I'm grateful to God saving me. And then a few years later, God called me to the ministry. And it's been a long, long process getting to Wales. And I told some after I finished Bible school, the Lord put me through the school of hard knocks, but I'm grateful even for those times, or I wouldn't have lasted very long in Wales. And we've been there 5 years, and I'm thankful that our God is still sustaining us. And I just say frankly to you this morning, there's been times I could have packed it in and brought it home again. And in fact, about 3 months ago, one Monday morning, I mean, I thought, well, I'm finished. It just seemed like the devil really. And finally, in the afternoon, I said, this is the devil. I'm listening to the flesh and the world and the devil. And I renounced the will of the flesh, and sure enough, it was the devil. But you know, he didn't leave me. He came back again the next Monday. But I'm thankful to God. We just kept calling on the Lord, and we bless Him for grace and strength. And I pray, thank you, brother. Thank you. We're grateful for the privilege of being there 5 years. And we've seen blessings. We've had battles as well. Pray for the land of Wales. As you know, it's been mentioned much this week about revivals. UK has seen the move of God in 1904. God saved, well, it's recorded about 100,000 were converted. Who knows if that's close to accurate or not. But we don't see that today. It's a declined. Hundreds of churches are closed. We need reformation. We need revival. The problem is people don't see their need. They're totally just lethargic to the gospel. Evolution is a way of life, as the British would say, evolution. They are sold on it seems, many. And yet, we're thankful for an opportunity to share the Word. And we're grateful. Even in the hard times, we've seen God save. And we're grateful to God for our two boys that were converted. Luke and Samuel have been saved since we've been there. And we also had an adult couple converted. They were in their 30s. Sam and Andy Price were saved. And their daughter, Zoe, was converted. And I'm thankful to God for the Lord's blessings, even in the midst of trials and struggles and battles. I want to read to you 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. This last few months have been a struggle for us. But you know, sometimes we forget that the trial of our faith, what it's for. 1 Peter 1, 7 says, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes. We think about, oh God, help me through it. Amen? Lord, if I can just make it another day. But He says it's more precious than gold that perisheth, might be found unto praise and honor at the glory and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know, if we could just get past the problems and keep looking to Christ. When we look back in eternity future, we look back, we're going to say, thank you, Lord, for the grace to keep going. Not a one of us are going to say, I wished I hadn't struggled. I wished I'd have quit. We won't do it. On the other side, we'll say, God, I wish I'd been more faithful. I wish I'd been more in prayer, more in devotion to Christ. But it's hard to see it on this side, isn't it? Amen. The Lord help us to be faithful and to continue on. I want you to pray about one important thing for us that's going on in the month of August. I'm flying back on the 15th and 16th. Darlene and them are going to be staying another 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks till youth camp's over in Tennessee. I must get back and some things to be preparing for this evangelistic meeting. Also, we're giving out the Gospel of John in Romans. Let me say as well, sometimes we do things. God helps us to see something important. For instance, what put me onto this was I was invited by Randy Bain, evangelist Randy Bain. Some of you know him, some of you don't. To come over to Paris in November of last year. And we had the privilege to give out John and Romans there. And as we were going back to the airport, I told Brother Randy, I said, you know, I believe we can do this in Wales. And things are in place. In fact, the John and Romans little booklet has been already mailed to Wales. It should be there first of next week, God willing. And we'll be passing out. We're going to have 4,000 allocated to us. And that's a lot for a country area. We're not in Paris where you can give out a lot of them at one time. We've had some help coming over from the States here. My brothers are both pastors. They've been wanting to come over and help us to our Macedonia. And I have just been reluctant to do that. I've not wanted to come across as an American church, an American deal, doing anything. And we tried to stay away from that. But I believe it's time that we get more serious about evangelism. We've tried to be evangelistic and giving out the gospel. In fact, one of the greatest compliments that I've been paid in a long time was given to me, and she didn't mean it this way. She said, "You're too evangelistic." And I thought, man, for a God believes in the doctrine of grace, that's a blessing. Amen. I get tired of hearing that those who believe in the grace of God are not evangelistic. Some maybe not be, but praise God, God's giving us a heart for souls. And I'm thankful that God has blessed us. Now, we've got a long way to go, so you pray for us this meeting. We will be giving out John and Romans in the week of August 7th through 13th. And we're going to do our best to at least hit 2,000 homes during that week. So pray for us. Pray. We're in a pagan society. There's covens and all kind of witchcraft going on in our area. There's a magic shop in even our own town. And I try to pray every time I go by it, God, you shut this thing down. So you pray that the gospel will go forth in this time. Pray that God will hedge us in. We'll be protected from the devil. We've already had some opposition already. So let's pray that God will save many souls. And then on Saturday, we're going to have a fun day. We're going to have a creation emphasis. And we're going to have a speaker come in and talk about creation. And pray that the Lord will speak to hearts on that day. And then on Monday, Randy Bain's coming, and we'll be preaching Monday through Friday of the gospel. And we pray that God will save many souls. And pray that God will continue to work in our area. Pray for Darlene. She's teaching boys and girls. We have Sunday school, two classes that are going on in our Sunday school. We've just about a year ago split the classes. Our age group is wide group from 3 up to 17. Well, Sarah will be 17 in July, this end of this month. So we have a Sunday school in the morning and Sunday school in the afternoon before the services on both times. So you pray, God will add to us. We need some laborers. Jesus said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers." And you know what that means. You've got to have some folks saved too. Amen. So we pray that the Lord will continue to work in our midst. I want you to turn with me this morning to the Gospel of John. We'll look at three invitations this morning that's given to us from the Gospel of John. We'll not be able to cover this exclusively, of course, but I want to look. We just finished completion studying John's Gospel at Ack Hill Baptist Church. And by the way, I'd like to say I'm privileged to be able to be there. We've been blessed. We have. Just say a little bit more about that first before we start. I am a pastor there of a little Baptist church. We are in a church recovery situation. We've been blessed in many ways. We have the church has a manse. For those Americans that don't know what a manse is, that's a pastorium. So I think they say that up here, don't they? A parsonage. I've heard it, some say it, call it a manse. Anyway, it's called a manse there. And we've been blessed of the Lord. We have two buildings. One needs some repairs, but we have a nice church building. But there comes a price tag with that sometimes. And so you pray that God will save souls. We had 13 members when we first went there, adult members. And we've lost two families since we've been there, two by death. And yet the Lord's added to us as well, and we're thankful for that. And thank God for His grace to continue on. So you pray that God will help us to be faithful, and God will use us in a mighty way in these days. Turn now to John's Gospel. Look at chapter 1, and we'll begin reading with verse number 29. John 1, and verse 29. Before we read the Scriptures, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we bow, Lord, this morning, we're thankful for the privilege of prayer. And, oh Lord, we bless Your holy name for the good blessings that we receive here at Maranatha this year. Lord, I thank You for speaking to my own heart. Thank You for speaking to my dear wife's heart, encouraging her heart, Lord. I pray, Lord, that You'd be pleased to bless these different meetings that are going on at this very moment. Lord, bless here. But I pray, Lord, for Darlene as she's teaching the children. Lord, I pray for Brother James as he's teaching the young people. We ask You, Lord, for every group that's going on right now. God, speak to our hearts from the Word of God. Help us to hear. And Lord, help us to be doers of Thy Word. Thank You for last night's message again. Lord, we beg You this morning to help us, Lord, to be completely filled and controlled by the Holy Ghost. Thank You, Lord, for the good Word of God that's gone forth this week as well from the morning classes from Dr. Lucilius on the recounting the revivals, the great awakenings that have been going on worldwide. And, oh Lord, as our brother prayed in the prayer around the fire pit this morning, oh, perhaps, Lord, there's a greater awakening coming. Lord, I thought, oh God, may it be so. And I pray, Lord, You'd help us to continue in prayer. God, forgive us of our lack of prayer and our failings and our fears. And, Lord, we know that Satan is the author of fear. And he's the author of discouragement. And Lord, we thank You that You're the God of grace and You're the God of leading. And God, You lead Your people along. We thank You, Lord, You're the God of clarity. And we praise Your holy name that You will direct our paths. We'll just stay close to You and draw near to You. Help us this morning as we look to Your Word. And Lord, I pray that You'd encourage our hearts as we look through the three invitations that are given to us in the Gospel of John. Have Thine own way, we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been reading and studying John's Gospel for probably over 2 years in Ack Hill. And I remember Dr. Lucilius saying in classroom one time, what book do you give to young converts? And it's the Gospel of John, isn't it? And it's amazing how much truth is far beyond a new convert in John's Gospel. You think, well, I know that book already. I've been studying it and reading it. My word, you get stuck on some. You say, what about this verse? What about that verse? And there's some deep, deep water in John's Gospel. Now, I don't have the answers to all of it, but I'm thankful to God for His truth He's taught us, and grateful to His name for the blessings. As I was reading the last chapters and studying, I studied a lot by Wiersbe. I don't know if you like him or not, but I've learned a lot from him. He says, notice the three invitations that are given in John's Gospel. And as we look at the Scripture this morning, look at the Word of God as John the Baptist is giving the introduction to the Lord Jesus. First of all, let's look at verse 29 as we begin reading this morning. Chapter 1, verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is He of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him, and Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. We'll stop there this morning for the reading of God's Word. May God bless it this morning. First of all, let me say, John is introducing to us the Lord Jesus in this passage. To the Jewish ones who were gathered there, he is saying to them, but you know, he does it a little bit different than we might introduce a speaker. Now, I'm not the best, introducer. But I want to say to you, we wouldn't do it exactly like John would do, would we? Perhaps some might say, well, we would introduce the guest speaker of, well, we have great confidence in this dear brother who's coming to the pulpit, this pastor, this reverend, this doctor, who is a man who's an expert in his field, who's been pastoring perhaps for 40 years and he's been walking with God. Nothing wrong with all that. But this is not the way that John does the introducing, is it? He just frankly steps on the scene and he says, Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. Now, he doesn't introduce our Lord as of what accomplishments that he has done. Now, you say, well, I can argue with that with you. Well, not really, because we can go back to the scripture that says Jesus was going to come. We know that. We're not talking about the Old Testament here. We're talking about this is the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. And John is just introducing him of not what he has done, but I want to say to you this morning, but what he's going to do. What he is going to do. And what an introduction it was. And I believe with all my heart that those Jews who were there, their ears perked up. Behold what? Lamb of God. Now, where would their minds go back to? The Old Testament. And those scriptures perhaps bounced around their head. A Lamb of God. How about Isaiah 53, verse 7? He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. How about Ezekiel 12 and Ezekiel 29, which give references to the Passover lamb, of that the worship that was going on in the temple, about the lamb's blood that had to be shed for worship? The Jews knew about this scripture, and yet they, perhaps they scratched in their head, Lamb of God? And many of those rejected the Lamb of God. But I want to say to you this morning, remind you again, this did not stop Jesus from coming, just because he knew about the rejection that would come. I want to say as a note of application to us, and I remind myself again this morning, I remind you, many will not hear. Many won't listen. And sometimes it's discouraging when you can't get anybody to hear you. Some that are not going to pay any attention to you. In fact, they'll think you're foolish. They're mad. But I want to say, Jesus, even though they were going to reject him, what did he do over the city of Jerusalem as he looked over that city? Jesus wept over the city. You know, there's no excuse for us being cold-hearted in our evangelism. There's no excuse for us being cold-hearted in our praying. I'm an emotional being more than some, maybe. I'm not that way all the time. Sometimes I get aggravated and I get ill and I get discouraged just like you do. But I remind you of Psalm 126, verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, and bearing precious seed, shall what? Doubtless come again with rejoicing. Doing what? Bringing his sheaves with him. There's a promise, my dear folks, that God will bless us if we go forth. It may take a long time to see someone come to Christ. It may take a long time as you pray, as you wait upon God. But there's a promise that God is going to bring those sheaves. You say, well, I may not see them on this side of eternity. But praise God, that's not what's important, is it? The ones that get in on the other, if you see them coming in on the other side, that's the most important. If we don't see it, I thank God for those that will come if we'll just be faithful. And I want to say to you this morning, even though Jesus knew that they were not going to come, many would reject Him. What did He say in verse number 39? As those two men were interested in Jesus, verse 39, let's read it again. He saith unto them, come and see. And they came and saw where He dwelt. Now, Jesus, John the Baptist had said, behold the Lamb. And praise God, they were not all rejecting, were they? These ones, these two men, they looked. That word behold means to stop, look, and listen, to get your attention. John says, behold the Lamb of God. Get your attention. Focus upon Him. They are not all rejecting Him. Andrew and this other fellow, I'm not sure who he is, they were captivated by our Lord. They were looking at Jesus. They were grasped by His Word of the Lord. Look at verse 37 and 38. And the two disciples heard Him speak, and what? They followed Him. They followed Jesus. There's something about this Jesus. I'm interested in Him. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, what seek ye? And they said unto Him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? Now what was Jesus saying to them? Verse 38, what seek ye? Jesus asked them, what seek ye? Or He might say it like this, as Robertson says it, what purpose have you with following Me? What are you looking for? I thought about it in this way. Maybe Jesus is saying as well, can I help you, gentlemen? What can I do for you? You seem to be intrigued at My words. And I want to remind you, as Doc said last night, about the Emmaus Road. What were they saying after the Emmaus Road experience? After they had been with Christ and He finally revealed Himself and He popped out of their sights, did not our hearts burn within us as He talked with us along the way? They didn't even know why it was burning. And yet, as Jesus talked with them and instructed them about the gospel, their hearts burned. And it finally dawned on them what was going on. And Jesus was right in their midst and they didn't even know it. And many times that happens to us as well, right? And we're struggling, we're wondering what was going on, and we finally realize that, hey, God's speaking to us. And He says unto these disciples, these ones that are going to be disciples, come and see. And I want to say to you this morning, as we talk with people along the way, sometimes it's going to interrupt our schedule. And somebody will come along, they seem interested, and we ought not to be like professionals, you know, and say, well, can you make an appointment? Not on your life. Jesus didn't say that, did He? He said, well, come back to see Me in the morning at 6 o'clock. No, sir. He says, come and see. Come and see. He said, make an appointment. No way. Take time to work with people where they are. And sometimes as we're in the way, the Lord will direct our paths. He'll put people in our path. You say, well, I just don't have time for this today. I've got this to do, that to do. And I understand we have to be careful. But yet, at the same time, take opportunities. And how we miss them sometimes, don't we? And even yesterday, I missed an opportunity. I was going to do something, and I turned around, it was gone. And we need to jump on the opportunities, not to limit God. God will take care of that, but yet at the same time, we will miss a blessing. We will miss an opportunity to share the gospel or encourage someone. And if someone's seeking, let's make sure we tell them to come and see. And as Jesus said as well, look and live, look on Him. Jesus gave some precious thoughts, and He said, come and see. I want to point out this morning also that Andrew was interested in Jesus, And he said unto, as the Lord said unto him, come and see. He did that, didn't he? He came and looking, and he found something. And I remind you that Peter was not introduced to Jesus first. And these are old notes, but remind us this morning, Andrew had a place in bringing people to Jesus. Three times we find Andrew was pointing people to Christ. Number one, it was Peter. Number two, it was bringing the little lad with the fishes. And also, he pointed the Greeks unto Christ in chapter 12. We don't find any great sermons about Andrew, do we? No great sermons, no great messages, no great crowds gathering, no Pentecost. 3,000 souls were added to Peter, added to Christ, should I say. But oh, what a blessing. As Andrew is walking with God, who points Peter to Jesus? Andrew. A single witness. Sometimes we think, I'm not very effective. Maybe I've just got ones and twos. Praise God for them ones and twos. Amen. Might be an Apostle Paul. Might be a John the Baptist. It might be a Peter who's going to be greatly used of God. And by the way, God is not going to reward us for our pistol notches in our handle, or is He? Not the number of souls that we've pointed to Christ. Some are used in a great way. I think about evangelists. Sometimes they have opportunities to speak to thousands. Sometimes they just speak to a few. And oh, it's not so much of the numbers, is it? It's just being faithful to God and what God's giving us. And Peter, I want to ask you this morning, remind you, was Peter interested in seeing Jesus? He sure was. What did he do with his family business? He left his boats, didn't he? When Jesus said in Luke chapter 5, I want to make you fishers of men, he was found putting his boat on shore and left it there. Even though it was a family business. And it's not easy, by the way, to leave your family when your family, my father was in the pool business and grading business, and when you have that opportunity to do that and to leave that behind, it's not easy sometimes. But Peter says, I'm willing to leave the fishing business behind. And we can see faults of Peter, and we can see him going astray. He was gung-ho, and he was always quick to jump to speak. But I want to say as well, Peter is to be commended by the Lord. I think about the great time when Peter was walking on, when Jesus was walking on the water. None of the rest of the disciples were willing to get out of the boat, were they? Peter's willing to say, Lord, I want to come to Thee. And he was walking on the water, even though he sank. I want to say praise God for the faith to get out there to start with and to try. And praise God, we ought to be willing to say, Lord, if that's You on the water, I want to come to You. I want to walk on the water, praise God, and enjoy the blessings that You have for us. And Peter is a blessing to my heart. Thank God for his desire to follow Christ. And I want to say Andrew had the precious privilege of pointing Peter to the Lord. Now, I don't know if Andrew was jealous about God using him in a great fashion. Say, hang on a minute, Peter. I was the first one to follow Jesus. I don't know that. I don't know for sure about that. Perhaps he was. Perhaps he had to struggle with that. But I remind you this morning that if that was so, he had to get it straightened out before it was all over. But what a blessing to see one of the greatest apostles to be pointed to Jesus, his own brother. And glory to God for the privilege. What did he say in verse 41 and 42? Let's read it again. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, the son of Jonah, he said, Thou art Simon, son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is interpreted a stone. He said, We found someone important. We found the Messiah. We found, as John the Baptist has said, the Lamb of God. And these dear ones they have been looking for Him. And praise the Lord, I want to say this morning, as Jesus said unto these men, come and see where I'm dwelling. Come and find out what's going on. And I want to ask you this morning, is Jesus worthy of our listening to? Is He worthy, is He trustworthy of us to come and see where He's at? I say, praise God, He is. And I want to say this morning, He will not disappoint you. He will not give you a faulty invitation. And glory to God that these men were so impressed with Jesus. Peter was so convinced with his ministry that he was willing to follow Christ. And history tells us that all the disciples died a martyr's death except for one. And I believe they saw something in Christ. They were willing to follow Him to the end and to suffer. Even though in John 21, Peter's struggling with that. And he looks around and John the Beloved and he says, "What about him, Lord? How's he going to suffer?" And John, as you know, according to history, he lived a long time. But Peter had a struggle with that right there at the end. But the Lord straightened him out there in John 21. Not only to come and see, but let's look at number two, the second invitation in John's Gospel, John 7:37. He says, "Come and drink. Come and drink." I want to say, first of all, he is trustworthy. But I want to say also, Jesus is satisfying. He brings satisfaction. 7:37 says, "In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink.'" Wiersbe makes comments about this section. He says, "Water is for drinking. One of the symbols of the Holy Spirit in the Bible is water is also water is for washing, a symbol of the Word of God." In John 15:3 and also Ephesians 5:26. Let's look at Ephesians 5:26 just for a moment. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. "That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word." And Wiersbe continues on, he says, "Just as water satisfies thirst and produces fruitfulness, so the Spirit of God satisfies the inner person, enables us to bear fruit." At the feast, the Jews were reenacting the tradition that could never satisfy the heart. They were pouring out that water upon the dry ground. And Jesus offered them something greater than that. He offered them more than just tradition, didn't He? He says, "I'm going to give you living water. Eternal satisfaction, if you will. And I'm going to give you real satisfaction to your thirsty soul." And as you know, the sad part was that many of the Jewish leaders rejected Him. Even that traditional thing that they were going through. They were remembering the wilderness wanderings. And to say that God had sustained them those 40 years long in the wilderness wanderings. And yet Jesus said on that great day of the feast, the last day, He says, "I will satisfy you. I'll do more than just give you the physical satisfaction of a good, cool drink of water." Jesus said here, "I'm going to be more than a Gatorade." Amen. Here, "I'm going to be more than a Powerade. I'm going to be more than a soft drink of any kind. I'm going to be better than even the sweetest water you've ever tasted." Just like in John 4, what did He say? Unto the woman at the well. Amen. Let's look at that just for a minute. Just briefly. John 4:13, what did Jesus say to her about the water that she's coming to get? Jesus said unto her, "Whosoever shall drink of this water shall thirst again." The best water you've ever tasted is not like Christ. He says, "You're going to have to come back here again to drink some more water." Verse 14 says, "For whosoever drink of this water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Oh, praise God for the fountain that comes through Christ. And that well of water is satisfying. And it satisfies the soul. "Come see a man," she says. "Come and drink if you will. The gospel is free." And speaking of that, let's look back to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 in verse number 1. This whole chapter is precious. Perhaps we'll not read it all for time's sake this morning. Isaiah 55, look at your Bible, please, if you'd like to read along with me. The prophet Isaiah says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come and buy ye and eat. And yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader, a commander of the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee knew not thee, shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and our God, and he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. And he goes on talking about the rain that cometh down as snow from the heavens, return not thither, for it bringeth forth and bud, and that may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And so shall it prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy, and ye shall be led forth with peace. And the mountains and the hills shall break forth with singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up, and the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up, and the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, and an everlasting sign, and it shall not be cut off. And I don't have time to look at all that. In fact, I don't even understand all that yet. But I praise God. He said, come unto me, you that are thirsty. Praise God, he offers something sweet and precious. Amen. I love the precious song. William Cooper, or William Cowper, whatever you want to pronounce it. British say Cooper. And he's British, so I guess they can get away with that. Right? There's a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunged beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Praise God, the woman at the well, she needed to hear about this fountain, didn't she? And praise God, as Dr. Finnegan says, she came to the well and she went away with a well in her soul, didn't she? Glory to God for that precious fountain. And amen, the fountain here gets out the stains on it. It washes away. She says, come see a man who told me all things ever I did. Amen. She knew that she was a sinner. But oh, she got beyond all that. Praise God. Jesus did some cleansing to her heart. And she said, come see a man. I think it's significant, since she'd had five husbands and one that it wasn't her husband she was living with, that she says, come see a man. This is not just any ordinary man. This is the man, Christ Jesus. He's the Messiah. And glory to God, he's worth listening to. And he has some satisfaction he's offering. And praise God, he did something for me that no other man can do. And praise God for that thirst quencher that Jesus brought into her life. Amen. Number three, come and dine. Jesus said in John 21, verse 12. Jesus is giving this last invitation to his disciples. They had toiled all night. Peter said, I go fishing in verse 3. I believe personally, he was going back on his old job. I believe he's discouraged because the Lord wasn't showing back up. You know, the Lord just kind of popped in the situation there after the resurrection. And he didn't tell him when he was coming. He didn't tell him when he's leaving. But I believe Peter's discouraged, and I think he's just going back to his old job. He's forgot about Luke 5, where Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. Or maybe he's just discouraged. Well, Jesus is not coming back. He's gone for good, perhaps. But Jesus is doing three things in this chapter at the end there. If I've got this not right, please forgive me. But I want to say some things that the Lord's spoken to my heart about it. May I say to you, testimony, if God calls you into full-time service for God, He'll supply your needs. He'll take care of you. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need. I know that not everybody's called into full-time. Sometimes you, dear men, have to pastor and work. But I want to give testimony to the Lord this morning. To you. God's going to take care of you. What did Jesus do on that shore of that sea? Just refresh your memory. Jesus had bread and fish on the fire. Jesus said, come and dine, gentlemen. Come and dine. First of all, he was talking to him from the shore. He says, "Children, have you any meat?" I can just hear them in the English language say, right? No. not a fish has jumped into our nets. Not a one. They've cast their nets all night long and drug them all over that sea probably. Not a fish. Not a one. Jesus said, cast your nets on the right side of the ship. Cast your nets on the right side of the ship. And then the last one, why did Jesus command them to bring the fishes to the shore? He wanted to count them. He knew how many was in there. But He wanted them to see. Let's go back to the bread and the fish. Jesus, I believe, performed a miracle there to remind them that He's going to take care of them. They were called to catch men. Sometimes we need to be reminded. And we've had our share of struggles with different kinds, financial problems occasionally. But you know, it's amazing how the Lord comes through. He'll meet your needs. He'll supply your needs. And I bless His name for that. He had fish and bread there on the fire for them. Now why did Jesus go back to the miracle for a moment of catching the fish? Why did Jesus want them to catch a load of fish? He already had them food. He already had something to eat. I don't know if this is correct or not, but I believe God's given them a blessing, extra blessing, bonus if you will. He's showing them perhaps two or three things. He said, I want to give you something to sell, praise God. You'll have you some pocket money. I'm going to take care of you so well, I'm going to send you to the market with a few as well. Perhaps there's another reminder. One writer said this. Perhaps Jesus is reminding them that He's going to fill their nets. He's going to reward them for serving Him. And Jesus knows how many is going to keep from the net breaking too. In Luke chapter 5, the net break. But not in this chapter. This chapter, the net does not break. And the Lord is going to remind us as we preached about the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. There's going to be some fish in the net. Maybe different ones will have different amounts of fish in your net. But there's going to be a net full that God will give you to minister to and to be rewarded with it as we cross over to the other side. And we're going to see those ones brought to the kingdom. We're going to see some fruit and praise the Lord for that. The last miracle, or another miracle I believe is a miracle, as Wiersbe points out, and I believe it's a miracle. Peter was the only one who drugged them to the land. It says Peter went down and brought them to land. Sometimes the ministry is heavy. I'll be honest with you, it's overwhelming. I don't have to tell you men that at all. I haven't been near as long as you have. But I found out the ministry is overwhelming. It's an overload, more than you can handle. But Peter brought a load of fishes to the shore. Now, if I don't know if you've done the math or not, but 5 pounds of fish of 153 is a lot of weight. That's 755 pounds. And if they were 10 pounds, it says great fish, so I don't know how big they were. If they're bigger than that, it would have been a lot of weight. 10 pounds would be 1,500 pounds. That's a lot of weight. And the overweight, the weight of the ministry is overwhelming. The Lord spoke to my heart, reminded me, I'm going to help you bear that burden. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to give you grace to bring them all the way to the shore. As we look at these three invitations, come and see. Jesus says, I'm trustworthy. Come and drink. Jesus says, I'm satisfying. Number three, Jesus says, come and dine. I want to say to you that I am supplying. Jesus says, I am supplying. In conclusion, wrap all these three thoughts together. I'm looking at these verses and I'm reminded that Jesus is saying in this book, in this chapter, to my own heart, Jesus is all we need. Let's trust Him. Let's believe Him. Let's serve God with all our hearts in these days. There's some great invitations in the Gospel of John. Let's give them to men. Praise God. There are going to be some that are going to hear. And glory to God. They're going to be in the net when we get to the other side, Brother Dan. And glory to God. It'll be worth every mile of the trip. It'll be worth every paddle we make, every splash. Say, well, I'm not doing much. Just keep on going. Keep on serving. Amen. May the Lord bless you.